Well, we could. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll just start now. We'll start now with our first witness, because Father has to get back to the church, and then we'll carry on from there. So go ahead, please, Father.
Does this thing work?
I'm afraid so.
It's all right. My name is Father Georges Endall. I'm of the Society of Jesus, and I've been a missionary priest, working among the Alaskan natives for over 48 years. I have these comments to make with regard to the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. In reaching an honest agreement, a true meeting of minds is necessary. In arriving at the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, this true meeting of minds, it seems, was missing due to the divergent views of the land ownership. In the white man's view, the government owns all the land and the resources in them, except such land as is parceled out to individuals by way of patented land. This usage is widespread among the Caucasians or the whites. And that is the way they think. The native, he thinks otherwise. Outside government is strange to him. The land he lives on is the common heritage of all. Each one utilizes land according to his needs and decisions, provided it is not already appropriated by another for his own use. Such land is neither bought nor sold, but utilized according to one's choice. When no longer utilized, it reverts back to the common domain. In the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, the government of the United States seeks to deal with people who own a defined area of the Earth's surface. The 44 million acres that has been given has been recognized as theirs. It remains for the natives to unite and determine what steps are needed to preserve their heritage intact within those boundaries. Their incorporation into a larger civilized body, namely the United States of America, leaves them exposed to the danger of selling off their property to people alien to their culture and ending up destitute. When a native is without land, he has nothing left. This in turn puts pressure upon others to do the same. Some means must be found to keep the 44 million acres now owned by the Eskimo in the possession and under the control of the Eskimo leadership, who should so rule as to keep the Eskimo heritage intact. This will be like a country within a country, but so be it. In order to do this, the natives themselves must have a clear idea of their way of life and the various essential elements found in it. And they must loyally adhere to that way of life and take necessary steps to preserve the essential features. Today, we find that they find themselves no longer isolated as in years past, and they see whites committed to the exploitation of the area's natural resources, seeking to do so in the name of their common American citizenship. This is a challenge to the Native leadership to learn what means are open to them in the defense of the Native heritage and the natural resources within the areas over which they have control. Had the Natives realized the full implications of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, more might have opted to follow the choice of the St. Lawrence Island Natives and those of Elam, where their choice chose to keep their land and to do without the money that would come from the sale of that land. Well, that's all I have to offer.
Well, thank you very much, Father. We certainly appreciate your coming.
Okay, thank you,
sir. Mary? Just before we start, I think most of you were here last night, but if any of you were not here last night, I want to welcome you this morning. My name is Tom Berger. This is the Alaska Native Review Commission. And we had a very good meeting last night, and we agreed to meet today so that people who didn't get a chance to speak last night or could not be here would get that chance today. We had people from Koyuk and St. Michael speak last night, along with the people from Unalakleet. And today I understand we'll have some people here from Stebbins, and I hope they will be speaking today. And I believe we've had people from Shaktuluk here, and we welcome them. And of course, the people from Unalakleet. I was just going to say that I think you know Mary Miller, who's seated by the pillar here. She's with Kowarik, and she's been traveling with the commission to help organize these meetings. And this is Mary Kenswick here, sitting, hiding behind this pillar. And she's from Fairbanks, and she works with me. And this is Jim Sykes over here with the headphones, who is taking down everything on tape so it can be typed up, and there will be a permanent record of what is said. And this is Laura Karumpas, who is from the Nome radio station, and she works with Michael Jackson, and he will be arriving later, but I'm afraid he doesn't wear a glove, and he's kind of getting a little bald, so don't get too excited about his arrival. As I think I told you last night, I'm going to continue traveling throughout the state until early in the new year, holding meetings like this. We've held about 38 of these meetings, and then I'm going to write a report about the land claims based on what you tell me at these meetings. My report will be a mirror of what you've said, and I will make recommendations that I hope will be helpful to you and to Native people in other countries, because I'm not here representing the government of the USA or the government of Alaska. I'm here representing the Inuit Circumpolar Conference and the World Council of Indigenous People, two international Native peoples organizations. And they asked me to come here, review the land claims, and make recommendations that would be helpful to you and to Native people in other countries who are negotiating their own land claim settlements right now. So with that, we'll turn to our next witness. And could we have your name, Sheldon?
Thank you, Honorable Thomas R. Berger. My name is Sheldon Katchtag. First of all, I would like to say that I appreciate your coming to Unalakleet. I have been working off and on over the last year or so to inform my people as to the importance of the Alaska Native Review Commission. Ever since I have been informed regarding this Alaska Native Review Commission, I have felt that this is the one most important means for the Native people of Alaska, and especially in Western Alaska, to express your feelings, your views, your thoughts on how the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act has affected your life. I would also like to welcome, as a person, as a friend, and as a relative, whether it be near or distant, all my friends and relatives from the western coast of Alaska here along the Norton Sound. The Suktalangmiut, the Tsangmiut, Kuyungmiut, Stebbins, and also my fellow people here in Unalakleet. My testimony here today is from a more personal perspective than was given during the three roundtable sessions held in March of last year. The three perspectives or aspects of my testimony will be, number one, personal, because the very nature of the Claim Settlement Act has created a very serious problem in my life. I have been raised in this area, in this drainage system, along this Norton Sound, over the last 36 years, and yet, due to some quirk in the white man's paperwork, I am not registered to the Unalakleet Native Corporation. I am not even registered to the Bering Straits Native Corporation. So in this respect, as far as my own homelands, I find myself in the same position as those children born after December 18, 1971. Because under the regulations, under the way that the law is written, legally, I am not entitled to any land or any of my traditional use of our resources from our area. That's legally. Practically and actually, I continue to live my life the way I was brought up to. Number one, that I respect my environment and I seek to live in harmony with it. A lot has been made of the fact or statements concerning how we live here as Inupiaq people. People say it is a way of life. I say for us, it is life. It is not a way of life, it is life. We derive all, everything spiritual, everything to keep our bodies going, we derive, for the most part, from the land and the resources which it provides. I have, as a person, other than the fact that I have been disenfranchised in regards to land, other than the fact that I do have a 160-acre allotment, I have been disenfranchised as far as my tribal rights to land. I have used and continue to use not only the land and the waters and the air of my forefathers, but I feel a great sense of loss. The Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, to my way, to me as a person, has been a very, very destructive and divisive act. By divisive, I mean that the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act has created a number of ways in which we, as Inupiaq people, are now different. There are shareholders and there are non-shareholders. There are those with entitlements to land, there are those with no entitlements to land. And that runs counter to everything which we were taught and raised to believe in our relationship to this most precious of our resources, our land. We were told you have to take care of it. You have to live with it. You can't fight it. You can't change it. Your land is supposed to be treated like the weather. You can complain about it, but you can't change it. Another way which the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act has divided our people is by creating two different classes of natives under the law, even though we treat each other as Inupiaq people and try to raise our children using our traditional values. They still feel that resentment, I'm sure. If I was born after 1971, I'd be pretty mad myself. The Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, by excluding those born after December 18, 1971, has violated the constitutional right. And by constitution, I am not talking about the federal constitution of the United States. I am talking about the constitution for the tribal government formerly known as the IRA Council of the Inuklit Natives. That constitution, which was printed by the federal government in accordance with the IRA Act of 1934, states that we as a people have the power to prevent the sale, disposition, lease, or any encumbrance of our tribal lands without the consent of our tribe. In other words, if that constitution was abided by, not only by us as tribal people, but by the federal government as recognizing this to be the sole government, that most strongest body of authority for Native people here in Alaska, they could not have passed the Claims Settlement Act without our consent. The excuse is given that Congress has what they call plenary powers. By this, they mean that Congress has the right to do anything by definition. This also has an implication that Congress, 435 members in the House and 100 members in the Senate, never make mistakes. And that tells me that they're not human anymore, because only humans make mistakes. If they are human, then they must realize the fact that they are fallible, they do make mistakes. And to my way of thinking, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act is but the latest and the most wrong of their mistakes. It is for us as Native people to determine whether or not we will abide by the Native Claim Settlement Act. As a person, this piece of paper threatens to do more to damage, to destroy my way of life as an Inupiaq person with a rich heritage handed down not only through customs but by word of mouth through the oral history of my people. This one piece of paper, after ANCSA, is going to disrupt our lives if we don't do something about it. This is an offering to open up all the lands around the village of Unalakleet, around the village of Anvik, and I'm not sure the pronunciation, Bonasila. They want to open the entire area for oil and gas leasing, hard rock and placer mining, and settlement. Settlement, what does that mean? That means they want to put cities back there. And if you look at that map, that encompasses the headwaters of the South River, the Swarovski River, the Golsovia River, the Old Woman River, the Anvik River, the Andraski River. What are they trying to do? I say they are trying to erase the Native people from the face of this earth. They're trying to say, you're in our way. And if it weren't for the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act, we would not be limited to the land we own outright to 165,000 acres. Now that you've had 13 years to look at what 165,000 acres is in your own backyard, I think you better do some serious thinking about what you were entitled to before the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. Each and every one of us, whether we're from Unalakleet or one of our neighboring villages, have lost more through the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act than any other act that has come down out of Congress. If it were not for the Claim Settlement Act, we would not be limited to 165,000 acres. And I'm sure that they told you when they were here explaining the Claim Settlement Act that either you go with your 800-acre school reserve or you go with 165,000 acres under the Claim Settlement Act. But what they didn't tell you was that you're entitled to more. This is all our land. You look at this river system. Who's on it? White America's not on my river. If you look at historically, who traditionally controlled this river system, this drainage system from ridgetop to ridgetop, by force if necessary. Oral history tells me that traditionally, Native people were told, as you go about your business, as you hunt, as you fish, as you gather wood, as you gather ice, keep your eyes open. And I'll tell you, your leadership said, I'll tell you who's supposed to be out there. This person, this person, this person, and this person are visiting from one of our neighboring villages. They're here, here, and here. Anybody else doesn't belong there. And traditionally, the native law says if you are out in our hunting grounds, if you are out there and you find someone out there, number one, that you do not know, number two, that we have not told you has permission from our leaders to be out there, you have one option. Two options, let me correct myself. Number one, you're supposed to, if at all possible, you're to kill that person. And if there's more than one, if you're outnumbered, you're supposed to come back, tell your leaders, hey, there's too many, I couldn't take care of them all. But that was the law. If you found someone out there, out in the country, that didn't belong, that you didn't know, Eskimo law said that you had to kill him. Now, Job Kokochuruk said some very powerful things at the Alaska Native Review Commission hearings in Nome. Very powerful things. I was very fortunate to be listening when he was giving his presentation. He stated that we, the natives of Western Alaska, are unconquered peoples. But he said we have been deceived by a piece of paper. A piece of paper. Without a shot fired, they say that they can open up the rest of the land, entire drainage systems, rivers, over and above our corporation lands. I say our, even though I don't belong to this corporation, because I still identify with the land. As Tim said last night, we're going to have to figure out ways of adapting our will to survive as a people to use their tools to protect not only our way of life, but the resources which provide us with not only spiritual but nutritional sustenance. Mary Miller gave testimony in Nome, and she said that our relationship to the land is totally different than what the Western people understand about relationships to land. Ours is a spiritual relationship. How many of you, when you're in the city, if you have been in the city for a long time, you begin to wonder how come you can't think right? You don't feel right. Something's bothering you. You may be working 9 to 5, but you don't think right anymore. Maybe you get into an argument with your wife or your kids. You ever stop and wonder why? What do we do on a pretty regular basis up here in Bush, Alaska? What do we do when things ain't going right? I don't know about the rest of you. Well, I should say I know about the rest of you, but I personally like to go out and get out in that fresh air. I don't care if it's 40 below. I don't care if it's 80 above. If I'm not feeling right about how my life is going, then that means I haven't had enough time outdoors looking at the land, being aware that life has much more to offer than what we see inside four walls. We have more. We are richer people than the majority of people that live on this earth. My dogs eat better than 90% of the people that live in Anchorage. My dogs. We, as Native people, have been asked or required or regulated to say that we must share our resources with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes down the pike. And they say that's equality. They make us poorer so that they can say that we are equal. And yet our forefathers had the strength of spirit, the strength of determination to say, show me that land that nobody else wants. Show me that land with the climate so harsh that nobody else has the strength of mind, the willingness to live there, and I'll take it. I'll take it and I'll make it mine. Our people, we are a product of thousands and thousands of years of being able to adapt. Tim made mention of the fact that this will be our strongest strength as a people. But we have to be careful that we do not change our way of life to such an extent that we become white people with brown skins and black hair. Enough of the personal. This act has created a lot of problems in my life. It's forced me to take some wrong paths, alcohol being primary among the wrong paths that the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act has detoured me onto. For a long time, I felt that I have lost too much. My spirit is weak. They say, Father Endall made the statement that they gave us 44 million acres. They didn't give us anything. They took 10 times that. In the early, late 40s, early 1950s, the Native Council of Unalakleet, fearing for their loss of their entire way of life and the resources which provide that way of life, laid claim to 9 million acres, not just for the people of Unalakleet, but for all Native inhabitants, from Koyuk to Pastolik, 9 million acres. The people of Unalakleet, under the Claim Settlement Act, settled for 165,000 acres. That's 1/54th. That's less than 2% of that which we felt we were entitled to in 1950. Less than 2%. It was not an either-or situation. We did not have to settle for 165,000 acres. This was all our land. Up until recently, I had pretty much given up on being Native. I had pretty much given up on our way of life. I tried to work, I tried to 9 to 5, I tried to week on, week off, but I wasn't happy. You can't be happy if you're not, especially Native people, you can't be happy if you don't have a chance to always be able to get back to your very roots. Because every time you get back to your very roots, you get down to the very basics of life. What am I doing and where am I going? And when you start from your roots, you can turn around and look up and say, okay, now this is where I started and this is where I'm going. You make sure you look at you and yourself and your growth. You look at it. It's just like going to the root of a tree and saying, okay, that was a seed that was planted. Now look at this tree. You have to do that. It gives you a new way of not only looking at yourself, but looking at your life. When you can renew yourself and say, okay, I ain't all that bad. I got a bad arm over here. Got a bad habit on this side. Maybe I trim that one off. But it gives you a chance to figure out how you can make your life better. I'm sure that the Review Commission has heard a lot about the entire impact from a personal level from Natives all across the state of Alaska. I would just like to say that as you give your testimony, they want to know what impact the Settlement Act has on your economics, your social life, how you interact with your family, how you interact with your neighbors, how you interact with your fellow people. Personally, just from personal observations, we're not as close anymore. There's resentments, there's hard feelings. Why in the world did that person claim all that land? We have to put these differences aside. If we don't put these differences aside among us, these differences will continue to tear us down. As far as the political situation, I speak as a tribal person. I speak as a member of the Native Village of Unalakleet and also as a council member. I have been a council member since 1980, and I would just like to say that by some swift manipulation of certain key words in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, the federal government has made our tribal governments a mere shell of what they once were. By stripping the land which we have a constitutional right to protect, by taking that land and officially, their officially, not our officially, their officially, conveying it to a Native corporation, they have in effect said that this tribal government will no longer be effective. And what I'm sure has not been explained to the natives of not only Unalakleet but all over Alaska, by accepting the Claim Settlement Act and by allowing that land to go to a state-chartered for-profit business corporation, that they have effectively taken that land away from the tribal government. That which has gotten us to this point in time, they have taken it away. and by putting it, by making the land become an asset of these corporations, we stand to lose that land. Very easily to lose that land. And that, to my way of thinking, as a tribal person, is not what we intended for the Claim Settlement Act. We, as Native people, as Inupiaqs, we wanted that land kept for us, not just for us individually, but for us and our people, for generations to come. That's what we expected. They must think our generations don't last too long because they said you're protected till 1991. After 1991, we don't know who's going to own this land anymore. It all depends on how greedy you as Native people are. That's what they say. Mention was made at the hearings in Nome that there are vultures or barracudas in the business world out there just waiting, stockpiling their money, saying, okay, 1991, we are going to make a killing. We are going to get back all that land that we, quote unquote, gave to the natives. One of the senators that was in on the negotiations for the Claim Settlement Act, after its final passage, took my uncle aside and says, we may have given you title to 44 million acres, and we may have given you $962.5 million, but we'll get it back. That's their attitude. They want this land. The federal government, through its policies over the last 200 years, has said that they have a special obligation to what they call indigenous or aboriginal people. We are both. If you look up the definition to indigenous and aboriginal, they both loosely mean the people that belong to a land. It's not the other way around. It's not the land that these people owned. It's the people that belonged to a land. In other words, this land up here owns us. And yet they're turning around and saying, you're not owned by your entire drainage system. You're not owned by the Norton Sound anymore. You are now owned by 165,000 acres. To my way of thinking, that says that you're a lesser man. One of the things that I have been involved with over the last 2 years has been the United Tribes of Alaska. And due to circumstances, it appears that I will be assuming chairmanship of the United Tribes of Alaska this year. From this standpoint, we have brought about some very serious looks, not only at ANCSA, but also at the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934, as amended in 35 and 36 to include Native Alaskans. One of the buzzwords that's been talked about lately that has really grown into quite a movement across the state has been the so-called sovereignty issue. Sovereignty, what's that mean? That has to deal with who is the sole ruler of a land. Traditionally, if you look back at the history of this area, up until very recently, the tribal government here in Unalakleet has been the sole sovereign that's actually been in control of this land area. Until 1959, when the Statehood Act passed, each council was the only source of local government for most of Western Alaska. Tribal government. And to be the sole source of local government, they must have had jurisdiction. We, as tribal people, felt that this jurisdiction was the same as that area which we used, occupied, traveled upon. We felt our jurisdiction included the entire drainage systems. I still feel that way.